This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good morning to you all. It's Pastor Brian de Villiers. I'm so glad to be with you again this morning. We continue our studies in the book of Acts, and today we're speaking about Matthias chosen in the place of Judas. We read from Acts chapter 1, and I read from verse 15, and this is what it says. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of names was about 120, and said, "Men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle and all his entrails gushed out. And it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so the field is called in their own language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'Let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office.' Therefore, these men have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to the day when he was taken up from us, and one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." And they proposed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen to take part in the ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place." And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, this is a very interesting study about Matthias chosen in the place of Judas. The decision to choose Matthias to take the place of Judas Iscariot was evidently an important one, as 12 verses are given to a description of all that took place. In this section of Scripture, we have an account of the first business meeting held by the Lord's followers in this connection. And that's what they speak about. And if we turn to Matthew chapter 19, we read about this in Matthew chapter 19, and it tells us in verse 27, Matthew 19, verse 27 to 28, and this is what it says. "Then Peter answered and said to him, 'Sir, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?' And Jesus said to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sets up his throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel.'" 12 in Scripture is a number of perfection administration. Our Lord chose 12 disciples to be with him, and these he commanded to take the gospel to the whole world. But now there were only 11, for Judas had betrayed him, was missing. And thus it was that Peter urged the action described that we have read together from Acts 1, 15 to 22. And we read in verses 23 to 26, we read these verses. "And they proposed to Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, 'O Lord, you know the hearts of all who show which of these two you have chosen.'" There we are. They prayed and they said, "Now you need to show us what needs to happen." And we are told of the method adopted of the actual appointment of Matthias to take the place of Judas. What are the lessons to be learned from this section of Scripture? We need to learn some lessons. Number one, throughout the subsequent history of the church, there has been lively discussion as to whether Peter was right or wrong in acting as he did. There are those who say that he was right, and there are those who say he was wrong, that he acted carnally, that he was impetuous and was not directed by the Lord. Anyway, they say the principle of selection was wrong. Surely it was wrong to choose two and then to cast lots, even though they did pray before they cast lots. We lean to the view, however, that Peter was right in what he did. We cannot be dogmatic about this. We must remember, however, that it was to Peter that the Lord spoke. And although it had been stated that Paul was selected in order to make up the number of the 12 apostles, in actual fact, his name is never associated with the other 11. And to those who say they, after this, we never hear of Matthias again. This does not prove anything, for neither do we hear of some of the other disciples either. As a matter of fact, we do hear about Matthias, though not actually by name, because we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, Peter standing up with the 11 raised his voice and said, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my word." He rose his voice. It says it with the 11 that he, his voice. If we read again in Acts chapter 6 and verse 2, we read this in Acts chapter 6 and verse 2. It says this, "Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables.'" So there we see there was 11 and then mentioned. Peter stood up with the 11 and the 12 called the disciples together. But surely it was wrong to cast lots. Not necessarily. For these disciples were still acting under, listen to me carefully, they were acting under an old dispensation. You've got to understand that. If you read Scripture, you've got to read it in the context it was written, to whom it was written, and in the context, it goes back to Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 8, and it says this, it says, "And then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat." So even in Levitical times, they cast lots. We need to be clear in our understanding of this. Number two, it is not possible that the Holy Spirit has recorded this incident because of the valuable lessons it contains in relation to the church administration. There are three lessons in particular, and all who are engaged in the Lord's work should do well to heed them. Number one, the business of the church must always be conducted in an atmosphere of prayer. And we learn this from verses 12. This is what we learn in verses 12 to 14. They returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room. When they were staying, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simeon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers as well. So there we have something very clear that is told us. They took time to pray. Those who took part in his business meeting have been present at the prayer meeting. It is only in this way we can know the mind of the Lord and enjoy the unity of the Spirit. The business of the church is not our business, it's God's business. He is the director, his work, and therefore it's essential for us to know the mind in order that we may do his will and place for all this in the upper room. It tells us in verse 13 of this, it says they entered into the upper room. And when they entered, verse 14 tells us, they prayed together. They prayed together, seeking the Lord in prayer. Number two, we must guard against making one our plans and then asking God's blessing upon them. It's significant that we learn this from verse 24. And they prayed and said, "You, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen. You show us." And that is what. And they did not choose Matthias, then say, "Now, Lord, bless him." No, they prayed first, committed the whole matter to the Lord, and then they trusted him to direct them and to give the answer that would be glorifying to him. It is very easy to arrange and to plan our service for the Lord and then ask him to bless our efforts. Need we wonder why the blessing does not come when we have not acted in the right way? Many times in our own lives, we don't seek God's plan. We don't lay the plans before God and say, "Lord, we need your direction. We need the leading of the Holy Spirit. Won't you help us in the things that we are doing?" I want to say thirdly, God has a plan for his church and for his work. We get this clearly brought before us in verse 24. And they prayed and said, "You, O Lord, who know the hearts of all." God knows the hearts of all. Show which of the two you have chosen. There's an admission on the part of the people who are praying that they did not know what God's will was, but they did believe that God had a plan and a purpose, and he was willing to reveal this to them. And they prayed for his will to be made known. And we need to hear that clearly sometimes. We need to know the will and the ways of God. And we read in James chapter 1 and verse 5, "If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him." So we can ask God. Do you get that this morning? We can ask God, the God of all wisdom, to give us the wisdom by the power of the Holy Spirit. All this emphasis, this supreme importance of the prayer life of the church. When there's no prayer, there's no blessing. When there's little prayer, there's little blessing. When there's more prayer, there's more blessing. And when there's much prayer, there's much blessing. We need to be continuously in prayer, praying and seeking God's blessing and God's direction. Thirdly, notice the kind of man who was needed to fill this office. The question is this: what is the supreme and all-inclusive qualification for a servant of God, whether he's a pastor, a missionary, a deacon, an elder, a Sunday school superintendent, a Sunday school teacher? He or she must first and foremost, verse 22 tells us, what must they have done? Tells us in verse, beginning from the baptism of John to the day when he was taken up of us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. There you've got it. He must be a witness of the resurrection. In other words, we must have the vision of the risen Lord. We weren't there, but you have a vision of the risen Lord. There must be that in our hearts. There must be a recognition of who Jesus is. Who Jesus is. We need to understand who is Jesus in their lives, the people we're going to appoint. We don't appoint people unless we know people are witnesses of the resurrection. They believe that Jesus died. They believe he rose again. They believe that he's a living Christ. They have a relationship with him. And to put it concisely, the kind of men and women needed for Christian service. Number one, those who are thoroughly saved, converted. This is to say they must be men and women who have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ personally and have entered into a saving experience of his grace, like Saul on Tarsus on the Damascus Road, encountered the living Christ, and his life could not be the same. And he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? What do you want me to do? Number two, those who show forth the risen Lord in their lives is the risen Christ living in us and through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, for an illustration of one in whose life the risen Lord very evidently manifested his presence and power, we read about Stephen the man, who encountered the risen Lord. His life had been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read about this in Acts chapter 6. And this is what it tells us. 8 to 15. And Stephen, full of faith and power and great wonders and signs amongst the people. There are those, some of the who are, that are called of the synagogue of the freedmen, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. They secretly induced men to say, we've heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. They stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him to seize him and brought him to the council. Yes, they had false witnesses used against Stephen. For we have heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us. And all who sat in the council looking steadfastly at him saw his face, the face of an angel. His face shone before them. He had encountered the living Lord Jesus Christ. And when we turn over the chapter to chapter 7, it's what it tells us. In chapter 7 about him, it says this, and we read it here in verses 54 and verse 7. Let me read this to you, and this is the account that we have of him. We read about him here, that when he was being stoned, he knelt down and he cried with a loud voice, saying, Lord, do not charge them with any this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep, he died. And he called on the name of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? That's what he did. Stephen knew Jesus. Jesus was in his life. He paid a price for serving Jesus. He died. When a man is really yielded to the risen Christ, has been captivated by him, has been fully come to know Jesus Christ, his life becomes changed in every area. He then knows it is to be a new creation, because 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man, any woman be in Christ, he's a brand new creation. Brand new creation. Old things are past, new things are come. And to live for the Lord day by day. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do. We are to be living witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, notice the confidence that these believers had in the scriptures. This is important. We must ever be impressed with the fact that these disciples of the Lord were very well versed in the Old Testament. When they stood up to make a speech, Peter immediately referred back to the Psalms about Jesus. And he spoke about Jesus. The scriptures must needs have been fulfilled. He also attributed the scriptures to which referred to the Holy Spirit. He spoke to them about the Holy Spirit. He is quick to say, it is written in the Psalms. It is written in the Word of God. Indeed, it is. It is indeed. All scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is God-breathed. It's for our reproof. It's for our correction, for our walk in righteousness. It helps us. Number five, finally notice the title of our Savior in verse 21. Let's go back to chapter 1. And we read here in verse 21. Therefore, these men who have accompanied us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out amongst us. Do you get that? The Lord Jesus, what was it that Peter and the others disciples had come to follow and love? It was the Lord Jesus. This is the Christian testimony. No man can say Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. Not just Jesus. He's not just Jesus. He's the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. To that he's saying his name, not just Christ, though that is his official name, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Always think of him. Speak of him. There's no other name whereby we must be saved, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust, as you've listened to the study this morning about Matthias and the chosen in the place of Judas, how they cast lots. And the Bible tells us they cast their lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. They went through a procedure. They sought the Lord. They presented it to the Lord. And then they prayed about it, said, Lord, help us. And they chose the person who was to take the place of Jesus. But remember, above everything else, all that we study in the book of Acts is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything, you know, we call it the Acts of the Apostles. Sometimes I think it should be the Acts of Jesus, the Acts of the Holy Spirit that are working all the time. And so I just pray that this will help you to see, even in our own lives, day by day, as we live for God, as we do the things that we are called to do day by day, each one of us will know that Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, is at the center of everything. And the Lord Jesus is the one that we worship. The Lord Jesus is the one that we exalt in everything that we do. And when even in our own lives, when we've got plans and we're planning things, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's lay it before him. Say, Lord, give us direction. We read already from James. It tells us that he'll give us wisdom. He'll give us understanding in the way that we should go. And you know, my friends, when you know the blessing of the Lord in what you're doing, my friend, you'll have a peace in your heart. You'll have a joy in your heart as well. Peace and joy when we are doing the things the way God wants us to do them. I trust that this study will be a help to you in your daily life. And above all, in your daily life, you will make the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life every day, because he's Lord of all. Because if he's not Lord, then he's not Lord at all. Have you made him Lord in your life? Have you said to him, Lord Jesus Christ, I want to love you. I want to serve you. The Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we thank you for the word. The word is the truth. We studied the truth this morning. We've seen how they chose people, how they were led by the Spirit of God. They didn't just choose someone. They laid it before you in prayer. They prayed together. They agreed together. They chose a person. You directed them. And all was well with them when they did it your way. Help us in our lives, not just to rush into things, but to do things according to the word of the living God, having the direction as Christians. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside, and the Holy Spirit will continue to guide us and direct us in our lives. Lord Jesus, we praise you this morning. You are the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords, and you want the best for our lives this day as we live it. But may we know above everything that you are Lord Jesus Christ, the anointed one who lives on the inside of us. We bless you and we praise your holy name together this morning. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Thank you for being with me today. I trust you've been encouraged by the word. We continue next week in the book of Acts. God bless you and have the most incredible day in your life. Remember, Jesus is Lord, and Jesus loves you.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.